Is Ben Nelson here somewhere? He's kind of hiding back. It's like, oh, there. Ben, would you just stand up for a second? So what are you clapping for? Just because he stood? Now, this guy's amazing. excuse me. He is the newest member on our church board. And so in his second board meeting, which was this last Tuesday, y'all got a good look at Ben here now, Ben Nelson. Okay, you can sit down now. And thank you for standing up. Everybody really loved that part. Well, Ben, after he began to ask some questions in the board meeting as we were finished, and he started asking about vision. You know, what vision, and where are we going, and what's the purpose of all this, and how do we run this church? I run a business. I have a couple of different locations for my business, but he's asking all kinds of questions. Okay, you know what? Why don't you just jump in my truck with me, and we'll just take a little ride. And he said, well, will you bring me back? Absolutely. This will just give us a little one-on-one time so I can end up sharing vision with you and answer these questions. So we jumped in my truck and we took off, and I was just pouring out the vision that God has given me and the direction that we're moving and the direction that we're going and what's happening and God's faithfulness and the resources and opportunities that we have ahead of us. And we were driving down Highway 2026, and we turn around, and after we've made a stop and turned around, and we're coming back, and I've just been for 20 minutes pouring out vision to this guy and answering questions for him, and on the way back he goes, well, now I have a test for your Christianity. It's like, what? Now I want to test your Christianity. It's like did I hear him right? I've been pouring out vision for 20 minutes, maybe 30. I want to test your Christianity. It's like, what are you talking about? Okay, go for it. And he goes, yeah, that car we passed with the flashers blinking, there's the people walking right there with a gas can. What are you going to do? It's like, oh, well, great question. I was so busy, and this is, I think, a talking point right here, a teaching point. I was so busy talking about vision and what we as a church are going to do that I drove right by these people with the gas cans. I slam on the brakes, back up, which is a challenge on 2026, but I love a challenge. And Ben survived. Backed up, and the guys came across and to the truck, and they had a gallon can. Their vehicle is out of gas, but they have a gallon can. So they jump in. It's like, well, we'll take you to the gas station, and we're driving to the gas station, and as we're approaching this little gas station, the gentleman says, might I ask you a favor? And I said, well, sure. He said, can I borrow $5 to fill this can up with gas? It's like, oh, wow. So we're definitely in rough shape. They definitely needed some help. So I said, well, sure. So we pulled in. We filled up. I'm going to make the story shorter now. We filled it up with gas. We drove back to their car. We poured it in their car. We jumped their car because with the flashers going, the battery ran dead. And so we got them going. We took them to the gas station, filled their car up with gas. Yay, Ben.
I didn't have any money.
That's true. But he saw the need. okay, so we drove, got them going, and after their car was filled up, you know, we're ready to get the handshakes or the hugs, and the gentleman says, my Bible was on the dash of the truck. He says, so could you pray for me? It's like, oh, wow. You know, this is just pretty cool. Now we've stopped. We've got the fuel, you know, got their fuel, took care of that need. And now there's a spiritual need to go along with the physical need that we've just taken care of. And it's like, wow, yes, but there's traffic. That little gas station's like this far off the road, you know. And there are people that need to be pulling in to get gas and cars going by and confusion there. And I said, you know, we actually have a church down the road here just a little ways. If you would want to drive there, we would, you know, are you in a really big hurry? And they go, nope. So they came to the church. We came through the doors and we never left the area right around the stairs out there. But and Ben and I started speaking to them, and Benji Snell, Pastor Benji, who also serves on the board, was still hanging around here like an hour or so after the board meeting, maybe an hour and a half after the board meeting. So Ben, whose idea this whole thing was, hands off the baton to Benji and says, I gotta go. So don't make him out to be too much of a hero. No, it was awesome. It was awesome. We were, the three of us were there together, and we were praying and we were ministering, and God did some amazing things in these two young people. Their marriage, there was reconciliation that came in their marriage, was crazy forgiveness, and just like we got to end up experiencing amazing. Is Pastor Benji in here? Oh, he's in the back too. Like, so the back of the church is covered. So we got to see amazing reconciliation between a husband and a wife, and them being reconciled to God. And then at the very end, after 20, 30 minutes, how long did we minister to them? At least, they're okay, 20, 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes, whatever. Time kind of gets away from you when you're having that much fun. Then we got to pray over them. The power of God just came, and those people who were needing gas and needing $5 to get some gas ended up getting so blessed. The power of God hit them. They both fell out in the spirit. They were on the floor for another. So by the time we were finished, we'd gone to Denny's and then fed them. So they got gas in their car. They got fed spiritually. Then they got fed in the natural as well. So we had the opportunity, because Ben recognized and says, I want to put test your Christianity. It's like, you know, sometimes it's so much more than talk, it's action. It's like, we see the need, we need to act. It's like, that's being led by the Spirit, being attentive to the Spirit, not just led. You know, we can be led by the Spirit, we can walk in the Spirit, but also have tunnel vision and just drive right past needs and walk right past needs that are right before our eyes. Everybody with me? Okay. All right, well, ready to start preaching now. You know, I'll talk a little more about the goodness of God and then jump in. It's like yesterday late afternoon, I got a wild hair and thought, oh, I need to get out of the house. I need to move around. I spent a couple days just like in my house, and I need to get out of my house. I need to move around. I went out and found an extension ladder, that 24-foot extension ladder, and I put it up in Ryan and Christy's tree, and I climbed up there. I have one of those pole chainsaw things, you know, and I climbed up there. I started cutting branches off, and then there's an 8-inch branch, just over 8 inches. And it's like, I have an 8-inch blade. I can cut that thing. Hanging out there about 15 feet, but it's dead. So I said, that needs to go. So I'm on the ladder, and so I wrap my arm through one of the rungs so I can't fall off. And as far as that 8-inch blade would go in, I couldn't get that to cut. I thought, well, if I wrap my leg around that ladder and hold on, like I can get out just a little bit further. And then I said, yeah, nah, better not. That still small voice of reason that, you know, Holy Spirit says, yeah, don't do that. So it's like, well, I've already cut 8 inches through that thing. It looks from the bottom like it's clear through. It's like, I started to climb back. I said, no, the voice of reason there. It's like, yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Go get a rope and throw a rope around the end of that. It's like, oh, okay. I went in the shop, brought out a rope. After about four tries, I finally got it. Four tries and tying a pair of tent snips on the end of it. And dunk. So I got her. And the weight of those snips, one little tug, and but it didn't hit like I was expecting it to. It hit, it twisted a little bit, and then the big end of that fell right back against that ladder. It hit the ladder, kind of bent it in the middle, twisted it around, and it's like right where I was standing. It's like, oh my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. When, I just say, walking in the Spirit and being attentive to that still small voice that's always speaking to us, that definitely wants the best for us, and is much, much smarter than we are, at least me. So I just thank God for his protection, that if we'll listen to that little voice, you know, it says that he will guide us, he will direct us, he will lead our footsteps, and he will get you off the ladder if you need to be off the ladder. I have enough time for one more story. We get those out of the way, and then I'll start preaching. But there's value, I believe, in each of these stories. You know, it's Holy Spirit working in our lives. A friend of mine called me Saturday as well, Saturday morning, and was telling me, you know, Friday was the last day. Had a high-stress job for 24 years. She said, I put in my resignation, I'm finished, but they're calling me back and telling me how badly they need me. Could I just stay through the month of June? And blah, 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 and starts telling me all this stuff. And she said, but, you know, emotionally I am spent. I feel like I'm on the edge of a nervous breakdown, and I've really felt that I was supposed to quit. But my boss called, and he's I guess I'm going to stay for the month of June, till the end of June. And he offered me $500, and I go, $500, that's an insult. You know, are you kidding me? It's like she just wasn't, you know, she felt the compassion of not wanting to let somebody down, but she put in her notice. She fulfilled and had spent 24 years on the job. And so it's like, she says, so I guess I need to keep my word. And I said, well, keeping your word is a good thing. It sounds like, what do you feel in your spirit? What are you hearing? I said, you know, really, if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we have to really be listening to the Spirit and not just our emotions, like somebody making you feel guilty. It's like, because somebody made her feel guilty, she says, yeah, I can stay. And then he said, and then there might be another little bonus at the end of June. We can talk about it at the end of June. I was like, are you kidding me? $500? No. I'll just call her Julie. I said, Julie, no. Let's talk about what God's saying. I said, you know, in your gifting, the part of your makeup that we call, you know, our soul realm. We're body, spirit, soul. In our soul, we have emotions, and the way that we're built and the way that we're created, we can have a real gift of compassion. I mean, we can have gifts, we can have feelings for things, we can be feelers, we can many things. But we need to listen to Holy Spirit, and things need to come into alignment. Like, you know, the old bicycle locks that were like a heavy cable, and there was a, you know, you had to line these three numbers up or so. It's like things need to come into alignment, like mind, body, and spirit. If your body is completely exhausted, you feel like you're just about to have a nervous breakdown, and you already have felt peace in your spirit, but your soul is feeling, being manipulated by what it's hearing. It's like, no. Everything needs to come into alignment. If you're going to make a decision like that, in fact, any kind of decision, all things need to come into alignment. Mind, body, and spirit. To be led by the Spirit, we can't let our emotions overpower the voice of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So she said, oh,
thank you so much for calling me back for this phone call. She said, I was talked into it. She says, would this be horrible of me now to end up calling them and tell them I changed my mind? Because just yesterday I said I would be staying. And I said, Julie, you know what? They have not taken care of you in this job. You're at a point of nervous breakdown, physically and emotionally exhausted, and they're asking you to stay. They want to wring everything they can out of you before you're gone. I said, I could just hear that in what you're saying. So, and she said, oh, thank you. Thank God. I knew in my spirit I was free to do that. I knew, but emotionally I felt like I was tied to that, like I needed to do that. Thank you for sharing with me, for being a voice of wisdom from God in my life. I feel like I've heard from God. I'm going to go clean out my desk and walk away. She says, I feel like Holy Spirit, Jesus has given me the strength now to stand up and say, I just can't do this. I need to be finished. So I just want to use that as an example of how we very much need things to all come into alignment, that our emotions can so get the best of us and overpower us to where we're doing something that God does not actually have for us or want for us to even be doing. Does this make sense? Yes. How about an amen then? Yes. Okay. Now, this is Pentecost Sunday, so we're going to get to Pentecost Sunday, but I want to take you through a little bit of a history. I got a foundational build here. I got a revelation this morning, like late. So we're going to turn first to Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Like God formed from the dust of the ground. So God created the body, the flesh, and all of those parts, all of the parts of man were created by hand by God, right? Isn't that what it says? And then he breathed life into man. So flesh was created, then the presence of God was breathed into man, right? And then he ended up making laws, and then man had to end up having more and more and more laws because of the lust of the flesh, right? So, created. You know, I want to just say it is really interesting when we know that we were created in the image of God, right? Bible tells us we were created in the image of God. And so we were created in his image. And as Christy Lynn, Pastor Christy, the announcement that they made last week, it's like, you know, there's a baby being formed inside this girl right now. That's so cool, so cool. But it's being formed in the flesh, right? And so that baby's going to come out in flesh, and it's going to breathe the oxygen that God created, and then it's going to start walking around and learning, and well, not immediately walking around, but I don't want to get too far ahead with this. We want to enjoy that little thing, a little critter. But it's developed and created in the flesh, right? Are you tracking with me? Yeah. Okay. So I want to go to John 1. And we know that we're born into a world of flesh, and that we basically are born into sin because we were created in flesh. And so, okay, John 1, we're going to read all the way from 1 to 17. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And the light's a capital L. Somebody tell me who the light is.
Jesus.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Everybody say, children of God. We have the right. Because we believe in his name, and that name Jesus. Who were born not of blood. Okay, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Children of God, born of God. So we're born in the flesh. We are born in the flesh. And ultimately, we have to be reborn. We have to be born of God. I want to just jump to John 3 really quickly, and then we're going to come back to this. John 3, 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that has come from God, for no one can do these things, these signs, like you do, unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and then be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, God is saying in John here that we have the opportunity to become children of God when we have put to death that flesh that we were born with, because we were born as flesh, put to death that flesh, and then we can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we have to put that flesh to death. I want to finish this, and then we're going to jump again. I'm going to tie a few things together, and I'm going to do it fast because I did a lot of storytelling. And where did I stop at? Where? 14. And the Word became flesh, dwelt on. Okay. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, and he cried out, saying, This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. So Jesus, on the other hand, when he came, he was the only begotten Son of God. So Jesus was born first, was implanted in the woman when it said the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary, and she was, let's just say, impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So it was the Spirit of God growing in Mary that became flesh. Not flesh first. It's like, oh, wow. That's what I said this morning. Wow. It's like because Jesus first was growing up in that womb as the Spirit of God with flesh wrapping around it, then Jesus was completely different than Adam because he first was Spirit. Is that good? Yeah.
All right. So knowing that that's how Jesus came, Adam, flesh first, and struggled with, then we move to John 20. John 20, 21 and 22. Now Jesus is with the disciples. He's with, I think there would be 10 of them there. Judas had been. So 10 of the disciples are in an upper room, and they are scared to death. You know, they've just experienced Jesus has been crucified. Even though he has been resurrected and Mary had seen him, they hadn't seen him. They'd heard about, and they were afraid of what was coming for them. They were not bold. They were not brave. They were hiding in an upper room together because they were afraid of the Jews. Everybody with me? Say, they were afraid. So, in fact, we'll start at verse 19, if you can have. Then on the same day, this is after Mary had seen him and ran to him, on the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So they were in an upper room. They had the doors closed. They had the doors locked. Somebody on watch looking through the peephole to make sure nobody came and found him. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed him his hands, his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Then he said this. He breathed on them. It's like, now, when God breathed life into Adam, he breathed life into Adam. So he blew in Adam's mouth, right? So he blew in Adam's mouth. But Jesus said, as he was sending his disciples out, he said to them, he breathed on them, and then he said to him, and I looked up breathed in the Greek, and it says to blow on. In this. So he blew on the disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So he gave them power when he blew the Holy Spirit on them. Okay, I want to move. So we're talking about being transformed when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and into our lives, right? We have Jesus. John 14, 19, 20, 21 says, "I am in you, you're in me, Father's in me." So Jesus in us, once we believe on him, when we ask him to come into our lives, he's faithful to do so, and we have Jesus in us. So these guys had been with Jesus. Jesus in them, they had accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So, and he had already been crucified, resurrected, and was speaking to them. And he blew on them and said, "I'm giving you power to go and do." All right. Are we all flesh, born in flesh? We have to be reborn to be born in the Spirit, water? Okay, let's move to Acts 1. Verse 4 through 14. I have covered that well enough. Yeah? We're all good? Okay. I'm trying to go a little faster than I had intended, but Acts, first chapter, verse 4. And being assembled, now they have been told to hang out
in Jerusalem. Don't leave, because you're going to end up being filled with the Holy Spirit. So hang in Jerusalem and wait. They've had this upper room experience with Jesus. Glad that they've seen the return Jesus that he blew on them. Now they're getting ready to have another experience because they were obedient and faithful to do what Jesus told them to do. He says, wait, 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 wait. So being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, that's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father's put in his own authority, only his authority. But, everybody say, but, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Excuse me. Received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus who has taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So how were they doing? What were they doing up there? They were praying all together of one accord, one purpose, one thing in mind, in prayer, in supplication, with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with Jesus' brothers. So hang on to that thought. And now we go to Acts 2. And we're going to read several. When the day of Pentecost, beginning with verse 1, had fully come, so they were waiting, they were praying, one mind, one accord. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house well where they were sitting. Can you just envision that? A mighty wind coming in through closed doors. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard him speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them in our own language, the language that we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And others, mocking, said, they're full of new wine. But Peter, everybody say, but Peter. Now, Peter, I just say impetuous Peter. He's the one. He's the bold one that jump up and jump out of the boat, try to walk on water, headed for Jesus. He's the one jump out of the other boat where they were catching all of the fish and go head for Jesus. He's the one who said, Jesus, I would never leave your side. I would never, never leave you or desert you. And he was the first one to desert Jesus. But Jesus saw that. Jesus recognized that. Jesus said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, Peter. So Peter was saved, and Peter didn't lose his boldness. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, standing up with the 11, raised his voice. Everybody say, Peter was the first. I mean, he just jumped right up there. It's like the 11 others were with him. He stood up, raised his voice, and said, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose. This is only the third hour of the day. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit, where? In? No. On all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall, what? Your sons and your daughters shall speak in different tongues. No. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall, what?
Prophesy.
Once more.
Prophesy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's amazing. And we look at the different gifts, and we get further into Corinthians and read what Paul says, that we end up having the greater gifts, you know, that, and that speaking in tongues, how valuable and important, and having that as our prayer language and all. But what he is saying right in this is like, when the Spirit is poured out on you, you will prophesy. How many people in here prophesy? Let me try that again. Raise your hands just a little bit higher if you prophesy, if you know that you prophesy. See, as we're, and that's not, because that's something that I personally was afraid of for a long time. So I am definitely, don't cast any stones. It took me over 13 years to end up speaking in tongues after I became a part of this church. Probably took me another 10 years to ever begin to prophesy as I was a part of this church. So when I asked for the raise of hands, I said that, well, that makes me almost jealous. Jealous in the Lord, because I'm just really excited that this is the culture that we now walk in, live in, and worship in. It's like prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. Prophecy is to build up, to encourage, you know, the body. It's like, and when we begin to get that gift, and when we step out in that gift, it is life-changing for the people that are around us. Because when you get a prophetic word that resonates with your spirit, you know that you've heard from God. How many people have experienced just what I'm talking about, where you have heard a prophetic word spoken over you that you knew God, that was God speaking into your life? Oh, that's even more than prophesy. So that's good. That's good. I will show signs and wonders in the heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood, fire, vaporous smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, in verse 21, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's the way, the truth, the life. There is no way unto the Father except through the Son, that being Jesus Christ. Now Peter, and as he had stood up and he was boldly proclaiming, he preached an amazing and an incredible message through there. And then he said to them, when they heard the message, I'm going to just read verse, instead of just 38 and 39, we're going to go 36. I'm sorry, I didn't send that up there. 36 through 39. Therefore, let all the house, this is Peter speaking still in this amazing message that he's spoken. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This Jesus that you guys crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, you know, that's how we baptize, that why we baptize that way, that when Holy Spirit came upon Peter, he came down and he boldly preached what he heard, what he learned, shared what the Holy Spirit had downloaded. When he came, you know, tongues of fire, speaking in tongues, came down, stood up, started boldly preaching. And what is it that we need to do? This is what everybody needs to do. Repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, what do we do with that? I had quite a bit more message, but it's like 10 minutes until, so I think this is a great place. Praise God that I'm stopping right now. Wow. I think this God absolutely has a sense of humor, or I would have never been called to be doing this. But there's also a lot of power. God, it is not, let me go back to what I was just talking about with Ben. You know what? It's not a kingdom of words, but it's a kingdom of action and power. A kingdom of action and power. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we're called to move with power. It's like heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. I'd like the prayer team to come up here. Some of the message that actually I prepared earlier in the week for today is like, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, basically and repent, I will hear from heaven and heal their land.